You are listening to the 2-Minute Time Warp.
Hi, I'm Chip with 2-Minute Time Warp podcast number 235. Thanks for your kind words about episode 233, which reviewed Night Terrors. I think you'll find this one's just a little different. Fans on the Gallifrey Base forums seemed to love The Girl Who Waited, judging from the poll. Neil Gaiman tweeted to writer Tom McRae that it was a, quote, effing wonderful script. Well, he didn't use effing. No one uses effing. Anyway, a generally strong reaction to a well-realized script, and yet, I wasn't on the same page. I probably still am not. At the risk of destroying my reputation, I actually haven't liked every episode of the revived Doctor Who. Not even the RTD years. But only one got me angry enough to shout at my TV screen, The Doctor's Daughter, which was hardly the worst of the RTD years. It's just that by the end of the story, things felt so by the numbers, I knew I wouldn't be surprised, no matter whether Jenny died or regenerated for new adventures. That one thing threw me completely out of the story, out of proportion to everything else that was right. Well, there were two things in The Girl Who Waited that threw me out of sync with fandom. A little one and a whopping big one. First, the little one. I noticed during Night Terrors how subdued and unnaturally contained Matt Smith had to be for that relatively domestic episode. Smith is at his best when he has space to unleash that unpredictable kinetic energy of his. With him locked in the TARDIS this time, forced to act against a view screen, it's even worse because he doesn't have anyone physically present to play off of, or, more importantly, connect with. Which brings me to the whopper, the thing that had me take a 45-minute walk around the neighborhood after seeing this one. For the first time in the Matt Smith era, I hated the direction the Doctor was being taken in. Emily Asher Perrin at Tor.com writes about the Doctor's, and Doctor Who's, special relationship with children. Adventured through time and space with a raggedy man who's not quite safe, not a tame lion, as they'd say in Narnia, but who has also come to be recognized as a protector. He's not perfect, but on balance, he's a hero. Well, the child in me did not trust nor appreciate the Doctor in The Girl Who Waited. When the Doctor realizes his error in locking on to Amy too late in her time stream, his immediate reaction is to rewrite old Amy's life, wielding a power that's more frightening this time than it was in A Christmas Carol. Now, by his own admission, Rule 1 is the Doctor lies. But in this case, his expedient lie to Rory that both Amys could survive in the TARDIS gave Rory a crushing false hope. The Doctor slams the door on old Amy and then tells Rory that Rory has to make the choice who lives or dies. Doesn't old Amy have some agency here? And now, I might not be reacting so strongly to this if it weren't for the fact that old Amy, broken as she has been, is a brilliant character. Tom McRae and Karen Gillan imbued this Amy with a clarity, strength, and direction that I've been missing, honestly, from the younger character. Old Amy's mind is as sharp as her blade. She's magnificent. She deserves life as much as her younger counterpart. And to the story's credit, she does, when the choice is forced upon her, encourage Rory to leave her behind. But would the story have been served so poorly if older Amy had essentially followed the Doctor's Daughter's path into her own adventures? Back to my main point. Of course, we don't want the Doctor to be a perfectly righteous superhero. Stephen Moffat has said the right things about hinting at the Doctor's dark side, but leaving his heroic nature intact. This episode didn't follow that pattern for me, no matter how well it was executed. Other fans have said, my Doctor is asexual, or my Doctor is an alien. Well, my Doctor is humane. And for the first time since The Waters of Mars, and this time without the immediate promise of redemption and regeneration, the Doctor did not carry himself as humane. And that's blinded me to much of the good of The Girl Who Waited. And that's a longer 2-Minute Time Lord podcast than I intended. Again, I guess I had a rant in me. You can leave your reaction and talk me down off the ledge at twominutetimelord.com. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, and you can find this podcast on iTunes, of course. Take care, and I'll talk to you again soon.